to Athena Rising, the authentic podcast where we talk about things that matter to the modern woman. I'm Anna.
And I'm Kateria. And thanks for being a part of our conversation.
If you're just now tuning in and you haven't listened to our conversation part one with Malia Anderson, I suggest you go back to last week's recording and listen to that first so all of the rest of this makes sense. Enjoy.
Oh my gosh. So let's go back there, because you were there. You were starting to tell a story that the work that you were doing last week started
It started there. At the nudist resort. So I'm working on some things around body positivity and sex positivity. And grandma, don't listen to this. So I am a firm believer in people living their best lives. And in order to live your best life, you have to be comfortable in all facets of your life. So the nudist resort for me was truly the most body positive thing I can do, because being naked in front of people, I didn't judge people. People didn't judge me, or at least they didn't verbally judge me on my nudity. So that started me thinking, you know, we hear all this talk about sex positivity, but when you see plus size bodies in the media, on television, in entertainment, these are unsexy, you know, generally unsexy images, you know, for the most part. And what started me thinking about this was there was a show earlier this year, and I can't think of the name of it, but it was about this woman who was fat, and she hated her life, and her name was Plum, and it was based on a book. But she didn't have sex. She had never had sex. She was like a 35-year-old virgin, and she always wore like black oversized everything. Mm. She wouldn't let herself lick frosting because, you know, she was on this diet that was going to make her, you know, great. Wow. And I went, wow, is that how the world sees fat women? Yeah. That they're just unsexy and undateable and just
like undeserving
of love and
sex. Frosting.
Yeah. And frosting, you know?
We deserve frosting.
Damn it, I love frosting. So I started like doing work around this, like really researching and finding out what it looked like. And I realized that people don't talk about plus size bodies and sex. People rarely talk about plus size bodies and dating. And I've been plus size for a long time. I've never had a problem dating. I'm married. I've never had a problem having sex or having sexual partners or being desired. Those were never things that this body was incapable of. So why are there so many stereotypes that fat bodies, plus size bodies, larger bodies are undesirable?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what Victoria's Secret just told us this today, or this week.
Yeah.
You know, that plus size women and trans women are not desirable, therefore they cannot walk in Victoria's Secret in their runway fashion show.
Oh.
Right?
Victoria's Secret, huh?
Yeah. The secret behind Victoria is that she's, you know, a pain in the ass. So, So in 2018, there are still people telling us, as larger bodied people, we are undesirable.
And that's crazy. I mean, we're all human.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? And I have women who come to me who are, you know, women who are menopausal. They always end up, every woman who comes to me and they're like, all of a sudden I have this belly fat. And I go, are you menopausal? And they say, yeah, what's that? Mm-hmm. It's your body's natural way of, you know, just saying, okay, now we're done with baby making. And now we're, you know, sort of in the last phases of how our body will change. And they have this belly fat. And they're like, what do I do with this? And I'm like, I don't know, tuck it in your pants.
You put clothes on it.
Put clothes on it. Cover it up. Or not cover it up.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would be a woman who has accomplished so much in your life, you've gotten to this space in your life, and all of a sudden, this belly flab would make you feel like nobody wants me. Or we're in this space where people are, you know, married, divorced, have to date. And I had a client one time who came to me and she's like, I have to date. And I was like, first of all, you're making it sound horrible. Like, you don't have to do anything. But she had had her friends, and this woman was in her late 40s, early 50s, and she was divorced, and her friends had helped her pick out first date outfit. And it was like this slinky, skin tight.
Oh man.
Like,
what
boobs
are you trying
out.
To attract?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so tell me about this outfit. She's like, I feel so uncomfortable. And I was like, so you're attracting uncomfortable people.
She's like, yeah.
She goes, I don't go on second dates. I only go on first dates. You know, people don't buy me dinner. And I was like, well, if you want to, you know, attract somebody, you've got to dress like the people you want to attract. I've always said it. I've said it for years. If you want to attract Mr. or Mrs. Nordstrom's, you got to stop shopping at Kmart. Because the two shall never meet, right? So you have to put out the energy that you want back. And it was like, I changed her wardrobe, and she was like, this is so different. You know, how people react to me is so different. And she was still sexy. She was still desirable, but she wasn't putting it all out there.
Yeah.
And the most important thing was that she was comfortable. So when I talk to people about sex positivity, which is something I'm going to be incorporating in what I do, one of the things I ask people is, where is your level of comfort as it relates to sex? And when I design people's wardrobes, I design wardrobes that appeal sexually. So I've had clients who I designed their lingerie wardrobe. I designed their pajama wardrobe.
Wait, lingerie wardrobe.
I know, wardrobe.
That's
because
a new concept.
But it's the same
one piece, isn't it?
No, it's the same principle, right? Yeah. If you're going to get dressed for something, you're going to get dressed to go to work. That's how you put together an outfit, right? If you're going to get dressed to have, you know, a sexy romantic getaway, you better not bring your flannel pajamas and your, you know.
Oh my God, I need help.
I have a girlfriend who's always said, you know, I'm the wife, but I'll always be the girlfriend. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, I don't do things that take away from who I used to be. You know, I don't know how racy this podcast can get, but one of the things that I've heard women say, and I've been married for almost 16 years. I got married with a group of people all close to the same time. And I remember distinctly a woman saying, I'm so glad I'm getting married because I'll never have to give another blowjob again in my life.
Oh, no.
And that was like super odd to me. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, is that a rule? Like, you get married and
is that the vows?
I'm like, what is that? And it was really the idea that I've caught him now.
Wow.
So I don't have to do the work.
Wow. Yeah. But then doesn't that make for a terrible marriage? Because if you're putting out what you want, then you will get the person that you want. But if you're putting up some front about who you aren't.
Why do you think we have an over 50% divorce rate in this world, in this country? I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that I think are changing in our society. Number one, I think that sexual roles are just changing. I think with the amount of sexual freedom that we have right now, the United States' Puritan ideas about sex are just sort of old-fashioned and, you know, nobody thinks like that anymore. I think you know, all the changes in gender roles that we've seen. I mean, I'm 40, almost 41. I can't say that I remember any kids growing up that were trans. Mm-hmm. Now, you see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. So that must mean that those roles are changing in our society.
Yeah.
I think that monogamy is changing drastically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have more friends who are poly. I have more, more people I know who are not getting married. I think those roles are changing. But I definitely think the basis of everything that people are defining their sex, they're defining their sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and they're really open and okay with it. So when I start talking about sex around body positivity, you have to be comfortable with your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know women who still have never looked at themselves below the waist.
Mm.
And I'm like, you're freaking 50. What do you mean? What do you mean you've never seen it? Like, we got a camera phone. Let's get it. Let's get this done. You know? I don't understand the logic of not understanding how your body works and what makes you feel good. I mean, I have a friend who is 46 or 47, and the other day she's like, oh my God, I bought this thing and wow. And I'm like, you've never been to a sex store. You've never. And she's like, no. She goes, but I went in there because you told me to go in there. And I went in there and I bought all kinds of stuff. I have been the catalyst for taking friends to sex shops for years. And they're like, what? We didn't know any of this was in here. And I'm like, okay, so here's what you get. Here's what you buy. Here's what you do. And I think even in the idea of right now in the world of cannabis, which is huge in our community right now,
mm-hmm.
there are cannabis aids that are specifically for sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with getting high. It has really to do with women figuring out what things work. It's about letting go of some of the insecurities we have around sex, so that you can be open to what is possible.
Yeah.
And I think those are things that are extremely important. I mean, even in the world of pornography, good, bad, or indifferent, most pornography is made by women.
What? Say that again?
I think acting-wise, probably, but not behind the camera. Really? Behind the camera?
What?
There are lots of females who make pornography that are behind the camera.
That's the mainstream.
That's one of the mainstream ways of pornography getting made. There's a lot of women behind the scenes. There are a lot of ex-porn stars.
Why is it still so kind of fake for women?
Because the mass consumers of pornography are not women.
So they're making it for
women. So when you,
that is a new trend right now, mm-hmm. is pornography for women. I've been hearing about it a lot more.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And then once you get into the idea of just, once you get past marital sex and you get into, you know, I mean, let's be honest, 50 Shades of Grey changed the world. Good, bad, or indifferent. I thought the book was kind of dopey, but it made people seek out
difference. Yeah.
And I remember being in our local sex store with some girlfriends. We were getting stuff for a bachelorette party. And this woman comes in and she's got to be in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her husband and he's just like shuffling behind her. And she's got the book.
Oh.
And it's like dog-eared.
Like manual style.
It's the manual, right? She's like, okay, here's what we need. And she's showing her husband and then she's asking questions. And you could tell that this couple had never been to a sex store in their entire life.
But more power to them for...
But people are letting their freak flag fly, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, you know, I mean, I have friends who are like, I want to build a dungeon. I'm like,
oh my gosh. What do they call it? The red room
of pain or something.
Yeah.
I mean, but 50 Shades of Grey opened people's eyes to alternative sex practices.
It definitely made it more mainstream. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a mainstream movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, whether you liked the book, whether you didn't like the book, whether you thought the book was, you know, coercion or creepy or whatever it was, it gave people an opportunity to go, that exists.
Right.
Yeah.
Open your eyes.
That exists.
Light bulb.
Yeah. Like people spank people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the other side of that too, I mean, I think people have known about those types of things, but I think...
They're not new.
Yeah, but I think it all kind of boils down to shame. Like,
yeah.
Shame that if someone found out that you did that or liked that, or shame with, you know, having sex as a plus size woman, you know, shame of all of this stuff.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're hoping to see being
But
released.
I think a lot of that is changing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are more things and there are more people and there are more opportunities and people are going, I want to at least try it.
Yeah.
You know, and when they try it, they go, oh, I like that, or I want to try something else, or mm-hmm. No, that's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't tell me that a book that has sold billions of dollars
mm-hmm.
has been made into a movie that has been shown in mainstream theaters where women lined up
mm-hmm.
to see this movie. You can't tell me that that didn't change the sexual dynamic of our country. And I read a lot. I read, you know, sometimes 4 books a week. And I went out and found better books and more interesting books and more. And
well,
I would,
maybe we could put some of these books in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like, you know, do things and I'd be like, honey, read this. And he's like, what are you reading? And I'm like, hey, you know, the only thing that I can't try is shower sex because I have this horrible fear of falling out of the shower. This horrible, horrible feel.
Bathtub sex.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, something. But I mean, it also was like these ideas that my husband and I would go away and mm-hmm. we'd go and it would just be like overnight. But it was like just to do something different, just to see something different, to be in a different space,
yeah.
to try something different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people get comfortable. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, we've been married for 20 years. We don't need to do anything new. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of need to do something to spice things up.
Yeah, everyone gets bored eventually.
Everybody gets bored.
It's part of living a whole fulfilling mm-hmm. life.
I mean,
sex is a part of that.
Yeah. Well, and I think if we stop the idea that we're not supposed to talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Nice girls don't talk about sex. Okay, well, I know a lot of miserable nice girls.
Yeah.
You know? It's not just about talking about it. It's about finding what works for you. And I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking about men as well. What works for you? If what you're doing isn't working, find a way to talk about it. But I also think that I was raised that we don't talk about sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sex is,
yeah,
you know.
I certainly was. Yeah.
Sex is something that you can use to manipulate a situation to get what you want. Or it's to make babies.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have babies and I buy everything I want. So sex needs to be something else for me. So it really is. So what I'm trying to create is a space where women of size
mm-hmm.
can stop being fetishized. You know, fat is not a fetish. Not for me anyway. But also create a space where women can come together and have conversations about sex. And can have conversation, have open, honest conversations about, hey, I think I like this. How do I proceed?
Mm-hmm.
Or I've tried this and this isn't working. Or, I mean, there are some sex toys that don't work for women of size just because of like the size of bodies,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, they make certain sex toys for plus size women.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And people,
I have no idea about
people
that.
Don't know that.
Yeah.
They make certain sex toys with longer handles because generally our bodies are a bit larger, so you can't get to places you want. Well, they have toys that have longer handles just for that.
Huh.
That space. There are, you know, there are books and authors who have written about women of size and all the kinds of fun things that they do, you know? So you don't have to be thin to have an incredibly sexy sex life.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to understand. It's not so much about being out there going, everybody just have sex, you know, it's all an orgy. Right. That's not what it is. It's about saying, hey, this is my body. I'm really comfortable with it. And I would like to have a sexually fulfilled life.
Yeah, enjoy your body. Yeah. Yeah. Not just live in it and deal with it, right. But enjoy it.
And I want to change the stigma around the fact that plus size women, fat women, chubby women, whatever kind of women we are, that we don't have sex.
Yeah.
That's just not true. And I really wish people would stop saying, you know, that fat is not sexy. I truly believe it is.
I don't know if you guys watch This Is Us, but I love that show. And one of the main reasons why I love that show is because two of the main people on it, Kate and Toby, they're both bigger people. Mm-hmm. And they show them in love. And, you know, it's a show on ABC. So yes. They don't show, you know, actual sex or anything. But they give you the idea. And it's not disgusting. It's normal. And it's beautiful. And that is huge in a mainstream show to me.
Normalizing.
And Toby's hot, you know? Toby is cute. I like him.
So you're educating mainstream America about this through your blog? How can we connect with you?
We're working on it. So my thing with blogging is I really don't like writing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't capture everything that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on the idea of a podcast and a video series. I just have to... We have all the equipment. We know what we want to do. I just got to talk to my mom and my granny first so they know what I'm doing.
That'd be good. So they don't have a friend going, hey, look at your granddaughter over here.
We saw your granddaughter hawking sex toys the other day. You know, but also I want to make sure that it fits within my brand.
Yeah.
You know, once you start talking about sex, that makes people uncomfortable. But I think it's... My life has changed so much in the last 2 years that I have a newfound freedom that I've never had before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want everybody to be free. Mm-hmm. Free of all the things that keep you from living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and a lot of the things that keep us from living our best lives are in our own heads.
Oh, heck yes.
So if we can shut that down and move forward... You know, and sometimes it takes a sisterhood. Sometimes mm-hmm. it takes 5 or 6 people coming together saying,
yeah,
hey, we're going to do this thing.
It takes a tribe. Yeah.
And then you tell 5 or 6 of your friends and you tell five, and then we have, you know, an epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, so I want women to understand that it's okay to be whoever you're going to be. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be... fulfilled. It's okay to want. It's okay to need. It's okay to be desired. It's okay to desire.
Mm-hmm.
All those things are okay. And it's most definitely okay for you to go, I have a fat body and I love it.
So what advice would you give to the modern woman?
To the modern woman. I always tell people, ask yourself who you are. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Who am I? You know? And once you figure out who you are, then make a vision of it. I love Pinterest for this. Mm-hmm. I have several Pinterest boards that are about my best life. All the things I want, all the things I desire. You know, one of the things that I've always said is when I was first married, I used to throw dinner parties all the time. And then I got a life and I got busy and I'm hosting Thanksgiving this year because I want that part of my life back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a way to slow down and say, wait, you worked this hard to enjoy something. I want people to visualize what their lives look like. And if that visualization is, I want to wear, you know, really cute lingerie and I want to wear heels and I want to, then let's find those things for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm married to a guy who is not a lingerie guy. It's just not his deal. He's like, just put it on the floor. Don't know. It's not his thing. But I love pretty lingerie. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you love it, get it. It has not, it's not about him. I don't wear it for him. Mm-hmm. If he looks over and says, ooh, that's cute, great. But it's about making me feel sexy. Mm-hmm. So that I can get in a space to do things in my life that work for me. I have long nails. The reason I have long nails is because I think they make my hands look pretty. And I love them. When people are like, oh, you should shorten your nails. Why?
Those are some fancy nails.
Yeah, they're pretty fancy right now.
Those are fierce nails.
But why shorten my nails to make you feel better?
Yeah, right.
Why keep myself hidden to make other people feel better?
So that's beautiful. You know exactly who you are.
And I'm forever changing.
Ah, that's a great point, too.
The thing is when I turned 35, I was a certain type of woman. I was building a business. I was focused. I was all about, you know, making people see me. Mm-hmm. I'm 40 years old. I'm almost 41. People see me. It's time to change my focus.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know, and what I wore when I was 21, I'm never going to wear at 41.
Yeah.
You know, so who I was at 21, she wins 21. I win 41. You know, I tell people all the time, you can't compete with 21. At 21, you had the best body you were ever going to have. You lived your best life. You did all the things, right? At 41, guess what? I make more money than her. So I have a totally different kind of life.
Dude, I'm, how old am I? 46, 47? You know? I'm doing more.
You're doing way better.
Your 26-year-old self. 21, yeah. Right? For sure.
So live your best life.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like for you.
Live your best
life. If living your best life is being, you know, my husband didn't get his first tattoo until he was 40, no, until he was 51, 52? He went out and got his first tattoo. And now I can't stop the man from getting tattoos. He loves them. But it makes him happy.
He's living his best life.
He's living his best life. So who am I to say, oh, dude, you're almost 60. You shouldn't be getting tattoos. No, let's go get some more. Let's do some new things. You know, live the life that's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you happiness. That's going to make you show up in the world. I was a wallflower for a lot of years in my life. I decided I didn't want to stand on the wall anymore. So I think as women of size, people of color, people of substance, we need to be out there and we need to be big and we need to be bold and we need to do the things that are going to bring us joy.
That was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing in such a vulnerable, honest, raw way. Yeah, I love it.
The only way I know how to do it.
Thank you so much, Malia. And we'll put in the show notes how to get in touch with her.
Cool.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. This was fun.
Yay.
Podcast, huh?
Thanks for listening to Athena Rising. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to give us a review or a rating and let us know what you would like to hear next. For more information about Athena Rising, go ahead and visit our social media accounts or visit our website.